Manila Sadas, Monster Radio RX 93.1. Sandwich with a track called Back for More. And here we go, Jinri.
Oh my God. Idol. And everyone is really excited that we are talking to this band, legendary.
This is crazy. All right.
One and only Linkin Park. Woo,
we got Chester on the line.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. Hi, Chester.
Hi, how are you? That was really a great introduction. I kind of feel like I almost can't live up to the expectation.
Oh, man.
We're such big fans over here, and you have a lot of Filipinos rooting for you over here in Manila. And I heard that you are going to have a concert here.
That's true.
Yeah, can you tell us more about your concert?
We are going to have a concert there. I think it's in just around a month from now, a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be out there, and we're very excited. You know, it's been a long time since we've been there.
Yeah, I believe it's your
first time with Ruling.
Yeah.
First time kicked some serious butt, and so we're ready to come back and do it again.
Yeah, and we believe it's your second time in the Philippines?
It will be our second time.
Wow, okay.
But all right, by far, far from being the last.
So what was like the most memorable thing that happened to you here in the Philippines the first time you guys were here?
Yeah, I would have to say that the thing that stuck out to me the most was kind of how familiar things felt. You know, I felt kind of like it was the closest to being at home.
Oh, wow.
Anywhere I'd been. You know, because there's a lot of Hispanic influence. There's a lot of American influence there as well. So in many ways, even though it's, you know, you guys definitely have your own identity and your own culture for sure. It definitely felt like I felt familiar. Like I had some things that felt like being at home. And so that was really cool. But the thing that stuck out the most was how passionate our fans are. You know, we have some like really diehard Linkin Park fans out there that are like crying and screaming, and they're like experiencing all these like emotions all at the same time. It's like joy, anger, happiness, and like all at the same time. And you're just like, and it's like,
oh my God.
You know, it's fun. It's fun to be around that kind of audience. And so, you know, I'm excited to get back and play our music for our diehard fans that have been with us, you know, from the very beginning all the way to, you know, the new fans who have just gotten into the band recently, and like give them all, you know, a great show.
Oh, man. You know, half of my friends are trying to sing like you.
You're our idol.
Awesome.
Seriously. If you grew up in the 90s, just like us, you were the rock legend. Like, you were the... Like, oh my gosh.
And until now.
I can't believe we're talking to you right
until
now.
Oh my God.
We're so excited over here.
I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny, but I ran into this kid at this sushi restaurant by my house out here, and we had just played a show with Stuntable Pilots, I was a huge fan of in the 90s.
Yes.
And a huge fan of today. But, you know, I was one of the kids in the crowd just, like, going, I love this band, you know, and just, like, freaking out. And so we played some shows here, and this kid came up, and he's a huge Linkin Park fan. His mom is a big Stuntable Pilots fan, and they both were at that show. And he told me, you know, how great he thought it was, which is really cool. But then he was like, you know, a lot of my friends think I sing like you, and so that's what I do in my band. Is you're like my favorite singer, and so like I everything I do kind of is evolved from what you do. And I was just like, that is so cool. Like, it's like the best compliment you could ever give somebody. You know, like so it's really nice. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
You know what? We heard that you are giving out some. Of your earnings on concerts to charity. Is that true?
Yeah, we've done that for a long time, and we continue to do that. I believe that we are doing that on this tour.
Wow. Sure.
All right, speaking of Stone Temple Pilots, I heard you like sang with them. What's like your favorite song from the Stone Temple Pilots? I'm just really curious about this whole thing because I watch your videos, you know, singing along with STP.
You know, it's kind of hard for me to say which song is my favorite one. I love so many of them, but, you know, I would say Meat Plow is a great one. I love that song. I love, Pretty Penny. I think, Dumb Love is kick ass. Wonderful is a great song.
That's a lot.
Everything.
Piece of Pie is a great song.
Uh-huh.
Cracker Man. I mean, dude, it's like there's so many songs.
Nice.
It's like when I started playing with these guys, and they're like, okay, well, so what songs do you know? I was like, I kind of know all of them. So just whatever you guys want to play.
And
were just like tripping out because I knew all these songs, you know.
Like there was one time I heard you, I think online, I saw a video of you singing Hunger Strike, and I was like, that's the best version I've ever heard. I was like, crazy.
That was a trip too, because like, you know, I'm a huge fan of Chris Cornell and his voice. I think that he's got like one of the, if not the best rock voice of all time. I mean, there's nothing that he can't do, you know, with his range and with the strength of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always been a huge fan. And so when we toured with Chris, I became really good friends with him, and you know, he asked me if I would come out and do Hunger Strike with him, and I remember thinking to myself, like, I really can't screw this up, because one, it's one of the best songs, it's one of the best songs in the 90s,
yeah.
And, you know, the reason behind it was very passionate, and also two of my favorite vocalists performed the song originally, so it was, you know, you got Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell doing the song, both very different in terms of their voices, but both equally powerful. And so when I went out, it was funny because we started playing it and Chris automatically goes, he's like, you want to do the high part?
Oh my God.
I was just like, he's like, yeah, you do the second verse and you can do all the high parts, you know? where I'm all, hunger, yeah! You know, getting way up there. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And I was just like, oh God. You know, here we go. I got to deliver the money note, you know?
All right,
but we played it. It was great. We had a lot of fun doing it. That was super cool, man.
All right. Speaking of songs, let's talk about your songs. What's your all-time favorite Linkin Park song?
Oh my God, that would be so hard to choose.
I know, but you know, if you were to choose,
it is hard. But I would say from the very beginning, Paper Cut has been one of my favorites.
Oh, I love that song.
And I want to sing to it right now.
I think that Paper Cut for me really is the identity of the band. You know, it's got everything. It's heavy, it's musical, it's melodic.
Yeah.
It's got cool changes, it's got lots of different styles in it.
What was the inspiration?
That song continuously has been my favorite. Yeah.
What would be Breaking the inspiration the behind Paper Cut? How did you come up with that song?
Dude, that happened so long ago, I can't even remember, like, I can barely remember what day it is today, like, let alone what inspired that song. You know, our songs are kind of, the way we write is kind of interesting, you know. For me, especially like in the beginning, my whole goal was to bring as much melody as I could to the music, because I felt like the band was really, really good at doing the hip-hop thing and really good at writing rock music,
mm-hmm.
but there hadn't been a lot of melody in the songs that they had written before I joined. And so, or the melodies that were there were kind of good, but they weren't really delivering. And so that was my goal, was to bring that element to the band. And so when we got to that song, like, the chorus was so dope, like, and the words behind it were so cool, that I kind of didn't really need to do much melodically until we flipped it up at the end. And so, that was a lot of fun. I felt like that song really captured what the vibe of the band was about.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, but when we write, like, especially for me, like, I just kind of let the music inspire me, and it kind of takes me where I need to go.
Nice.
All right. Damn. Wow. I'm so excited about this whole thing. So, you're going to be here August 13th. So that's like 2 months from now. How many years has it been since you last came here?
Was it 2004, I think?
It was 2004.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
I am no longer in my 20s. That's probably the way I've changed most.
It's okay. You still look really young. Young at heart. Thank you.
It's the makeup. But, you know, I think for me, like, the place I was as a person in 2004 mm-hmm. is so far away from the person I am today.
Wow.
You know, it's like I have all the things in my life are really all equally awesome now. Whereas in my 20s, it was like the band was the only good thing in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like outside of being in Linkin Park and doing that, I pretty much was failing at every other aspect of life. And so now, you know, I have a beautiful wife who I,
congratulations, love
very much. I have six beautiful children.
Six children.
Who are the best gift any person could ever have. And I have the most amazing friends, and I have, you know, the most amazing relationships with the guys in the band. And it's like everything is so good. You know, I've learned so much from being around these guys and kind of the people that they are, that it's really, my life has changed in so many ways that, you know, I'm in a much better place now than I was when I came there the first time. So I have a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. And it's all because it's all stemmed from being in this band. You know, every great thing that I have now is because of this band.
All right, speaking of the band, what has changed in Linkin Park from 2004 to now? Like, how do you say, how much have you guys have changed?
As a band as
well,
a whole.
I would say we stopped dyeing our hair. Yes, we stopped doing that. I've actually kind of thought it would be fun to just go back to blonde to see how many people would just freak out simply on the fact that I have blonde hair again, because that is one question that I've never understood, why it's so interesting to people. It's like, why did you change your hair?
It was iconic.
You know, and it's, so I guess, yeah, you know, but it would be kind of fun. But, you know, I think we're really much better at writing songs now. You know, we really have figured out the best way for us to be in the studio and writing songs. We know what we expect out of our songs, and so I think that's the biggest difference from where we were at in 2004 to now.
Yeah.
You know, I think every record we make is better than the last one that we did. And you know, there are some people out there who would agree with me, and there are some people who are like, Hybrid Theory is my life. You know, and that's. And they don't accept anything that doesn't sound like that. But that's okay. You know, we still play those songs live. And we have a great, deep respect for the style of music that we started with when we started. But if we know that if we had continued making music that way, we'd be just bored and we kind of suck. So I think that the biggest difference between us then and us now is like, then we had a very small catalog and we had an idea of what we wanted to accomplish as musicians, whereas today we've accomplished all those goals that we had set out for ourselves, and we've lived up to what we told people in the beginning, which was we are not just a one-trick pony. We do take lots of styles of music. You can't put us in one genre. There's not just one type of song we can write, and I think that each record we've made has had good examples of that, but we've actually lived up to what we said, and we can get on stage with anybody. We can write any type of song, and we can do it well. And that's something that, you know, I wouldn't just say that to stroke my ego. I would have to be able to walk the walk in order to say something like that. But I think that we have done that.
And not all bands can do that. Yeah. Not all bands can do that.
And you know,
it's hard.
It
is hard.
For this concert that is happening on August 13 here in Manila, what can we expect? What are your set lists? We want to know.
I don't know what the set's going to be, honestly. We've been in the studio working on the next record, so...
Okay.
Our focus has been make music.
How's that going?
That's what we've been doing. It's going really well, actually. It's going really well. We're writing some good songs in there.
So when can we expect like this new album? No timetable, you know, just let it go, let it happen.
Yeah, we never really. I mean, we did announce a couple years ago that we wanted to start putting records out like every 18 months.
Yeah,
because we want our fans to be happy, and a lot of people don't understand why it takes 4 years between albums for us, but it's because it takes about 18 months for us to make a record, and then it takes about and then we tour for 2 years. You know, so just that alone is almost 4 years between albums.
Yeah.
We got to the point where, like, that's too long. So we need to figure out a way to manage our time better. And so we've been doing that, and we're in the studio. It's going really, really well. And so in about two or three weeks, we're going to start really focusing on performing, putting the set list together, and getting our chops up.
All right, here's a pretty random question. Because I know you did the soundtrack for Transformers 3, and Transformers 4 is coming out. Do you want to do that soundtrack again? Like, have a song for that movie again?
You know, doing those movies has been a huge thing for our band, you know, and for us, you know, we've never actively went out and asked to be part of any movie that we've been asked to be in. That has always come from either the director or the film company itself has come and approached us. So, with the case of the Transformers movies, they have each time come to us and asked if we want to be a part of it, and we've said yes every time because we're huge dorks and we love Transformers and robots and we like things that blow up and we like hot girls and fast cars. So,
and your songs fit them
all
perfectly.
All those things exist in Transformers, which is pretty awesome. And so, you know, if they come to us again and ask us to be part of it, I would be very surprised if we said no. It's been a great thing for our band. The movies are freaking awesome. And so I would imagine that if they asked us, we'd probably say yes.
Since you guys are dorks, who's your favorite Transformer? You know, just leading from that.
You know, when I was a kid, my favorite Transformers were the Megatron pistol.
Wow.
You remember those?
Yeah. He's a big robot. He transformed into a small pistol.
Into a pistol, and you could even get the one with the scope on it.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite was Soundwave, the one you could actually put a mini cassette tape in. And
exactly.
So cool.
He had his pterodactyl, his whatever cheetah thing.
Yeah. I was never really into the animal ones. I always liked the ones that turned into cars.
Yeah.
And so those were always my favorite. I loved the plane. Which one was that?
Starscream.
It was freaking awesome, dude. That F-16 fighter was so sick.
This is so awesome that you are actually a geek. You would never expect a rock star to be like this, but this is so cool. And you know what?
Most rock stars are complete nerds. And you just... there's always a mystery.
Yes.
There's a veil, you know. Uh-huh. Most of us are pretty dorky.
Interesting.
I think that's what makes us want to be in bands, is to kind of like do something cool for once.
So that's why you're a rock star.
Because if not, they're just playing at home.
That's so I want to ask, like, how did you guys become Linkin Park? How did you meet the other members of your group?
Well, some of the guys in the band have known each other since they were, like, you know, in, like, elementary school, middle grade.
Wow.
Middle school. So I believe that Mike and Brad have known each other since about seventh grade.
Wow.
I know that Rob was one of Brad's friends, brothers or something, or I don't know. But Rob met, I think they went to high school with Brad.
Uh-huh.
And then Brad introduced Rob to Mike, and they became friends. I also believe that the original singer also was in junior high and high school with those guys. So they were all friends
since
they were little kids.
Interesting.
And then Dave was Brad's roommate in their dormy roommates at UCLA when they were in college.
Uh-huh.
And Joe met Mike when they were in school together at the Art Center of Pasadena. So all of them kind of came together in different phases of their lives. They had made a band called Zero that had a lot of hype and was doing very well and came very close to getting signed.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out that Mark... is much better. He's actually now at Velvet Hammer Management, who manages lots of different bands like Deftones and Alice in Chains, and he's much better at managing bands than he was at singing. so he eventually left the band after a few years, and then I had been performing in bands in Arizona since I was about 14.
Wow.
And and I had made a couple records with my old band, Grey Days, and we kind of established ourselves in Arizona locally. We did very, very well. Yeah. And so I kind of had made a name for myself a little bit, and so some of the guys that worked with Zero also worked with me, and when Mark left the band, they introduced me to the guys, and their music, and I was like, this is great, I can't wait to make music with you guys. And so that's kind of how things we met. We wrote all new music and kind of had the vibe changed a little bit when I joined the band, because my vocal style is different from Mark's, and the rest is kind of history, you know. I think within a year of me joining the band, we got signed.
Nice.
As well as turned down by every label.
Oh my god.
On multiple occasions. We got turned down about 40 times before we got signed. And but we eventually got signed, and the rest is kind of history.
All right, so do you know how many countries you guys will be visiting for this tour?
The last time I counted in my passports, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's around 40.
40 countries.
Wow.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure. We've been on every continent with the exception of Antarctica. and we've played in around 40 or 40 plus countries. All right. I imagine.
Are you ready for this next tour? You're ready. Your mind is set.
Yeah, you know, I'm always ready to tour. I'm like, I love playing music. That's why I do things with Camp Freddy. That's why I said yes to taking on this, you know, the role I have now in SCP. It's why I do Dead by Sunrise. I love playing live. I love playing shows. I love being in the studio. I mean, this is like my passion is making music. So and performing it. So I can't wait to get back out there.
All right. Could you invite everybody like out here in the Philippines to? Okay, first check your Twitter. Do you have Twitter?
Yes, he does.
I do have Twitter.
All right. Let's start with that. Let's start with Twitter, then your website, then invite everybody to drop by here to go to your concert here in the Philippines.
Okay, I would be happy to tell everybody. I just stepped on something.
Oh my god!
I don't know what it was, but my foot didn't like it. I would like to invite everybody out there who's listening to come to our show in Manila. I believe it's like around August 18th or something like that.
It's 13th, August 13th.
18th. Yeah, August 13th.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to put on a great show. We're going to play hits off of every single record and a lot of new music too. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm sure that the bands that are going to be opening for us are going to be awesome too.
Yes, they are.
So we're really excited. And
we're
I'll go on my Twitter tonight. I'll go on my Twitter tonight and check it out.
Yes. And we hope that you could, if you of course have time, drop by our booth if that's possible. We really want to meet you. Everyone's such a big fan of you over here at RX. So we'll see you soon, okay?
All right, cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Chester.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Oh, man.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
All right, there you go.
Whew.
That was amazing.
I know. That was amazing. So, you know what? That's Linkin Park live in Manila called Living Things World Tour. And the opening act is actually Urban Dub.
Nice.
Wow. So that's going to be like...
That's perfect.
Best. Because, you know, Urban Dub... It's big here, of course, and of course, our world star rock star, Linkin Park, is going to be here and live in Manila.
August 13, 2013 at the SM Mall of Asia Arena. And of course, check the tickets. You can get them at smtickets.com. And of course, you can call them at 470-2222. VIP stand day, a lot. Wow. Should we mention the prices? No.
Yeah, they can check it out.
Just check it out. Yeah. So everybody watch Linkin Park. I'm going to be there. Definitely. I'm going to get tickets for this one.
I really want to get off.
And of course, visit linkinpark.com, facebook.com/scaleevents, or twitter.com/scaleeventsph to check out. So check those links out for more information. Linkin Park. Let's play you a track from Linkin Park. Yeah. Let's see. Let's play Castle of Glass. I would have played a Transformers track, but this one's a new one. So enjoy this one. I need to get over that.
Idol!
I can't believe. I know, right? All right. So excited. I can't believe he was talking about Stone Temple Pilots because that's
and
my favorite
band. And he's so
down
to earth.
Exactly.
Wow.
He is. And of course, this is brought to you by Solaire Resort and Casino. The game has changed. Visit SolaireResort.com for more details. Enjoy this one, Castle Glass. I'm Manila's Artist, RX 93.1.